So when I told everybody, she said, oh, really? Do you want to come in some college?
Yeah, she's got home.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's formal.
Her face looks familiar. I just couldn't remember. That's why I see her face. You know.
We are ready to start, but may we come up here first?
Yes,
the spirit that guides us all. Thank you for bringing us together this morning for this beautiful, beautiful day, and for allowing us to have such a special guest. Allah, we ask you to continue to give him wonderful blessings. Thank you so much for all of us. We thank you for bringing us all here safely and for the food that's been prepared for us. And so, may I introduce our speaker? This is informal. This is Kuka talk story time, okay? And while I have some questions for Nakebu, please, if he doesn't mind, I also have questions I want to ask him. But just so you know, I'm going to be asking him like, about his background, where he was growing up, what his value systems were, the people from his parents, how he got into the business, his family. And then we're going to talk about fashions, which of course, as women, we love to talk about. But we're just going to free flow, talk story. And by the way, Nakebu does this every Sunday. Only this time, table turns, he's the guest, and I'm the hostess.
Thank you for coming. Firstly, since she was going to ask me that question, I'll talk about my family background. My father is an Awai from Hale'iwa, and the Awai and Poi Poi are first cousins. The Poi Poi comes from Lahaina, but the Poi Poi doesn't belong to the Poi Poi families that live in Maui. It was this Hawaiian woman that fell in love with this German man, and he probably had a very difficult name like theirs, E-R-C-K, which used to be pronounced Eric, but it's Eric. So instead of calling him Zuluwante, she goes, ooh, you're round, you're Poi Poi.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's how the Poi Poi line started. So my dad also said in the early days there was a Portuguese man who would go to the islands like Hello Dolly and matchmake people. So this Portuguese fellow found a brother and sister from Lahaina, Poi Poi, with a brother and sister from Hale'iwa and matched them. So the Poi Poi from Kamakapili Church, Reverend Poi Poi was there. That's our first cousin, and we're the Awais from Hale'iwa. So dad is from Hale'iwa. And Hale'iwa is where I grew up a lot. Every weekend, the dad was a man of the land, as well as ocean. But he took care of his lo'i in Hale'iwa every weekend. So we'd go down. My growing up years, every weekend were spent in Hale'iwa in the old days when they had those long stretch out taxi, the kind with chairs opened up, yeah. And we'd meet it down at Ala Park and catch the taxi to go to Hale'iwa. My mother's family is from Kohala in Waimea. She was an Akina, and what it was a Chinese man named Gu Kin who married a Kalua Vahini from Kohala. And they, you know how they have Pake names that they changed, they Hawaiianized it. So Gukin became Akina. And so that's where my mama comes from Kohala Waimea. And I guess she met that. Oh, and they grew up in Kaulawela School, was their home property growing up. That's where, in the early years, people had big houses, and I guess maybe because my grandpa, who I never knew, was a businessman, so it was a big house with a huge veranda and steps going up, and And they had a Japanese couple that used to help grandma. There's a wonderful picture that I have next to the hot house with the Gibson and all the little kids, even the children. Even the boys were dressed up in like dresses because long ago that's how it was. So she grew up in Ka'uluwela school property and dad was from Haleiwa. He would come in to deliver lobsters at the marketplace in Chinatown by horseback. And he would park his horse somewhere near Ka'uluwela school and then carry his seafood down to the market. And that's how he sort of met Mom. I grew up in Punch Bowl area. Went to Royal School, then went to Kamehameha 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, and graduated in 1956. Then I went to the University of Washington, class of 1960 in Seattle. Then after I graduated, I went to the East Coast. I got a job working in Summer Stop. That's a summer's, well, it's like Ruger, it's like the theaters here, but they run during the summer and they do all kinds of shows. So I got hired as an apprentice, and that's where you just clean down the set and you help build the new set, take down the old set. Every week there was a new show, so it was like work, 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 work. But you're working in the environment of theater. And so after that, they said, oh, and my major at the University of Washington was drama. I was pretty good. I thought I was pretty hot shit in musical production at the University of Washington. But so that's why I went to, it was Corning Summer Theater, where the Corning glassware they made. And they have a theater in Corning Woods. They said, well, if you're going to continue in drama, I thought about going for my master's. They said, go to Catholic University in D.C. because Walter Kern, who was a big critic on Broadway, started the drama department. So I went to D.C. Now, in the 60s, I found out after I went there, D.C. was still a very southern state. And I don't know if you ever went through that, but see, what one learns, what builds one's character, the journey gets more interesting, gets more colorful. I wasn't happy in D.C. because it was still a southern state. When you traveled on the bus, you got on the bus and the black went straight to the back and the white sat in the front. So, you know, the way in the middle, where does one, you know. So there are these things one goes through. And I don't think they knew who, I don't think Hawaii was that well known on the East Coast because while I was in Corning, there was a very very smart woman who was very literary, and so she goes, of course, Hawaii is in the Azores. And I went, okay. So, you know, Azores is Spain, the islands off of Spain and Portugal. So I was not happy. So that Christmas, my graduate year, the Christmas break, I went to New York, spent Christmas in New York, fell in love with New York. Wonderful city, and that's where I wanted to be. So I went back to graduate school, picked up the telephone, called home, and said, I'm leaving graduate school. Oh, what are you going to do? I'm going to move to New York. Oh, what are you going to do, my folks? Then, I don't know if you know Auntie Mame. That's one of my favorite films and stuff. When Agnes Gouche, her secretary, goes away for the weekend and she comes back, Agnes comes back pregnant, and they go, my God, Agnes, what did you do? I lived. So when my folks said, what are you going to do if you move to New York? Live. Beep, beep. They hung up the telephone. So I went to New York. Stayed at the Y, went all over hunting for a place on a cold winter, it was December, yeah, it was a cold winter morning, went into Brooklyn Heights, this brownstone. So now when I watch films and you see brownstones, yeah, the kind of houses in New York City with the stairway coming down, and then on the side you can go underneath, down two-step, and that's the whole level from the front of the building to the back. My first apartment was a whole flat from front to back in Brooklyn Heights. And that's where I stayed for, lived in New York for about 4.5, 5 years, and I only lived in Brooklyn Heights. I was happy there. I felt being an island person, I can walk around with slippers, because I figured if I lived in Manhattan, I would have to wear shoes every time I stepped out of the door. And New York for me was bad time of year. Remember, I thought I was hot shit as a performer. It was a bad time to be in New York because the shows were all white. The blacks did not make enough stink to become integrated productions. And so it's after I left New York that I figured they would never hire me, because if I got into a production, I would upstage, you know, upstages. Like every time I came on stage, people go, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. But I did Flower Drum Song on tours. Flower Drum Song was already powerful from Broadway, and I did lots of children's theater. While I was there, you might know Kalani Cockett. He was a performer in Honolulu. He and myself and another guy were living in New York, Alvin Lum. We went to do a show in Germany called Aloha Hawaii, which was done many, many years earlier in Hawaii, where they found this big Hawaiian wahine down at the fish market. She became a performer. I'm trying to think of her name. Well, anyway, they did a musical long, long before that in Honolulu called Aloha Hawaii. And so this is a musical that was going to be done in Germany. And so it got my first trip to Europe. Fell in love with Europe, and then years after that, I would go to visit Europe maybe about 5 times. It was really wonderful trip. You know, when you're young, you're very adventurous. You go for the gusto. Now that you're older, you become less adventurous. And you just go to tea and talk stories on Sunday. Check your look there. Yeah, no, because like U-Rail Pass, if you get a U-Rail Pass, I'm talking to that, if you have generation below you, encourage them. You get a U-Rail Pass and you can go on a train anywhere at any time just by flashing this pass. And you're traveling first class, because most Europeans travel third class. So you find a car, you open it, nobody's in, you go in, you pull the curtain, you know how the train has those sliding doors, you see film, you pull the curtain down, and then you have the whole room to yourself. You sit on one side, you push like this, and it goes, opens, and it goes, and it connects to the other side, yeah. So I saw quite a lot of Europe in 5 different times. One time it was Guy Kiloha that wanted to go, now I'm back in Hawaii, and he goes, Pan Am, before Pan Am closed, they're offering a special deal. San Francisco to London and back, $500. Let's go. So we went, but traveling with Guy Kiloha. You know, do you know Guy Kiloha? He's a very strong personality, and I guess I wasn't afraid to stand up against him. We were constantly arguing. But that was one of the trips, and the last trip I went to Europe was with Kwahel Church. The choir went on a tour, and I put together a Hawaiian program for them to do. And I didn't expect to get anything. It was my kokua to the church and helping the choir. You know, when you get involved with a group and a lot of older people, Nola Nahula was a choir director. Buddy Naluai was a music director. And they did a tour of Europe. And after I put this Hawaiian show together for them, they said, we can't pay you, but we'll give you a free trip. You can travel with us. So that was the last trip I went to Europe with Kwahel Church. And that was a bus tour. That was different. It wasn't train. So the bus, nice thing about it for old futs, when you get, yeah, because a lot of the choir members, and plus I was getting older, is the bus drives right into the city, drops you off at the hotel. You just put your bag, and when the hotel comes, they grab your bag, they take it right up to your room. And when it's time to leave, you just put your bag outside and then take it down. I mean, the only thing I hated is the bus driver refused to let us use the lure.
Oh.
So, stop the bus, I gotta go piss. No, because, I mean, had he let us use that, I'm sure we, being Hawaiians, we would take care of what God provides. But he just refused to let us use the, you know how they have buses have little bathrooms. So after that, after living on the East Coast, I moved home, did my one and only Hawaii performance in My Fair Lady with Linda Ryan. I don't know if you remember her. Those were the days when two wonderful ladies performed around city of Honolulu. Linda Ryan was one of them, and Ethel Azama was another one. They were a wonderful performance. So I did My Fair Lady, Linda played Liza Doolittle, and while I was in it, my flower drum song cohorts were in a show called Hello Tokyo, and they were rehearsing in Reno, and they needed another male singer-dancer. So I got hired, I flew up to Reno. The production was there for about 4 months, hated Reno. Reno was still a very small cowboy town that when those F Howleys got drunk, they would be very belligerent and they would treat, because the show was Oriental, right? So the Oriental girls, whether they were Hawaiian, Filipino, Chinese, or Japanese, they would say, "Is you F Jap that started Pearl Harbor?" The women would go, they're sitting there looking very sweet Japanese, they want to get the beer bottle cracking and go like that. But you know, showbiz people are more forward, they're not as prissy as civic club women. Anyway, so that got me to the West Coast, and the producers didn't want me to leave, because if I went home to Hawaii and the show went on, they would have to fly me all the way. So they go, "Why don't you move to LA? We have apartments, you can stay." So that got me to LA. The show never went on, but then I started auditioning for television. And in those years, in the 60s, musicals on TV were still very big. And that's where I met Lisa Dorso, you might know her. She comes from Broadway, she comes from Papakalea, actually. And as a young girl dancing, Dick Smart, Paka Ranch, saw her, was impressed for a local girl to have that agility and ability to be a dancer, that he sponsored her, and she studied dance in New York. And so Risa was, I didn't know her in New York, but she didn't look Hawaiian, so she could do those Broadway musicals, because she was a little more Portuguese, like Leatrice, yeah? So if Leatrice were in a Broadway show, they would accept it. Yeah, so while I was in LA, I worked with Risa, and I did all these shows, like with Lena Horne, Dionne Warwick, Jack Benny, Ann Miller, Elvis Presley, who was that lady from England? Downtown.
Petula Clark.
Oh, they had specials back there. And so now I'm leaving, going into fashion. So when you work on television, you work, and then you don't work. So you run into everybody at unemployment. Then you go audition, get hired for another show, and then you not work. So having the pocket side of me, meaning trying to be active all the time, this other fellow from Hawaii and I learned how to do macrame. A Japanese friend taught us what they learned growing up in Japan as kids. Macrame is knots, you know, like what the sailors do on ships, all kinds of knots, and you can make belts. And so when you read, I'm in this article, this new Lux magazine that came out by Ikai Kahashi, and there was a write-up on me, and there's a mention about my Japanese belt, but it wasn't Japanese belt, it was just macrame taught by a Japanese. And so I started selling macrame accessories in the Hollywood area, and that's how I met Bob Mackie. You know Bob Mackie, yes. Did those fabulous exotic costumes for Cher, and then he did costumes for Carol Burnett for his show and stuff and stuff. So we did macrame for him, and we did macrame for Jean Louis. He was a French designer. He used to do the old United Airlines uniform. And if people don't know who he is, I go, remember the old Lana Turner movie, The Gown by Gene Lewis?
Yeah.
That's John Louis. You see it, Gene Lewis, but it's John Louis. He was a French designer in the Hollywood area that I did, I don't know how we met, but I did macrame for him. So I got into fashion by observing people. And the thing about Jean-Louis' factory, half of his factory was Japanese, and half of his factory was Hollywood. Notice, the Japanese started. The Hollywood started, loud, with loud music going. So I go, interesting, you know, so now it jumps to Nola Nahulu and Betty Moon because they have Japanese workers. They're all very quiet, industrious women.
Yeah.
So I got involved with fashion, plus my choreographer mentor, this black fellow Paul Thompson, said, oh, I'm doing the choreography for Sammy's girl, Sammy Davis, and I want you to do the costumes. Want me? Okay. So fearless, you know, you're young, you're fearless. So you design costumes for Sammy's girls, those exotic women that surrounded him when they were in Vegas. My budget was $4,000 for 7 costumes. Unbelievable, but I did interesting costumes. They were pleased. I did another set of costumes for him. And I figured, one of the things in doing macrame, we did macrame for this designer Bill Ballou, who did the costume for Elvis when Elvis hit big in Vegas. He'd wear those Edwardian white suits. And then he had these macrame belts with all the beads. So that was a macrame belt we did for Bill Ballou, who did the costume for Elvis. So, I mean, you know, I got a taste of fashion when I wasn't dancing on TV. And then I came home to visit my folks. And I felt it was time to come home because they both were getting old. And I'm the youngest of the siblings. The others were on their own family journeys. So I decided to come home. Had a garage sale, got rid of my stuff, sent my car home, and moved back. And Dad helped me go into doing clothes. And it's all trial and error. You know, when you make a mistake, you make a mistake, you continue doing. I was using Howley fabric when I first, the incentive of go for it. So, top store, if you remember, women's was Carol and Mary, men's was Ross Sutherland, as well as Wren's, Ross Sutherland. So I went to Carol and Mary. I did sell a whole crew to Liberty House, but Liberty House buyers were, they were chirpy, they were frustrated designers because you could, the color this season, according to Vogue, is Hunter, Rust, and Mustard. And I went, what ugly colors for local people. But you know, whatever Vogue said, that's what they wanted to. So it was frustrating working with the buyers at Liberty House. But I love the old woman at Carol and Mary. She was the one that first called me by my Hawaiian name, Nakeu. Charming, older, Holly woman. I'm trying to think of her name, but anyway. So I was using Holly clothes. Alan Aquina moved from the same time I did. He was living in Manhattan Beach, California for 11 years. Alan was a hairdresser, but he was always a natural artist. So when I said I was moving home, he decided he wanted to move home. So we both came home together. We opened a store on an office on Keamoku Street, and Alan started printing his artwork. Aloha.
Aloha.
Oh. Come join us.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Hello, bye. Well, I give my greetings.
I know him from a long time ago. We both were in Uncle Henry Pa's class.
Kalihi Palama member.
He's a Kalihi Palama member. And he's wearing a print that I haven't done in a long time. It's called Menehune in the Avapuhi. So if you look very closely, they're not men, they're Menehune in the Avapuhi.
Oh, yeah, they look like fairies.
Oh,
Well, and the roots, the flesh.
Yeah, the ginger. You know, the minihuni. Yeah, I mean.
Like the leaves are coming out. The leaves coming out of the leaves, or it's just, I don't know.
What is that really?
This couple is from Hawaii Island.
And Lou is wearing the Lohala fans. And then Leimomi is wearing the what I call Naho Opa'a, the chanters. If you look at them, they're all like women that are in the wind with pa'us around them. That was done for me by Doug Tolentino. He's also an artist, as well as he has a group called Pa'ahana at the Halikulani. Doug is a beautiful singer. He's performing, his group is performing in my Christmas show. And let me tell you, I'm listening to his rehearsal tape. They remind me of an old bygone era of Hawaii music that we don't hear nowadays. They sort of remind me of a lot of people like Mr. K. Mr. K. Keaʻanaʻalei.
Yeah.
His Hawaiian music. Anyway. So Doug has done a number of posters for Mary Monarch. Yes.
Can I ask a question? So when you left and decided to move to New York, your parents were so happy. But through the years, and then when you came home, they kind of changed their mind. And
which was very funny. When I moved back from LA, in things were what our next generation is wearing. Jeans that are all tattered, you know, that kind of stuff. And so that was kind of the in thing in the 60s in LA. So I'd come home with these old denim jackets and that group. My dad, who never really gave money growing up, because it was always mom that would sneak me collars so I could go to the movies and stuff like that. My dad goes, "Hey son, go buy some new clothes." And I go, "Dad, your ripped pants caught me. $100+ Yeah. But So what were you thinking? I'm sorry.
So that was a good. The other question I wanted to ask you is, because this is like in the 60s, right?
When I went to New York, yeah, because I graduated in 1960.
So at that time, there was a lot of discrimination, like, so what was it like being somewhat of Hawaiian?
In New York?
In New York,
no problem. New York has always been a cosmopolitan city. Because of the Puerto Rican, I mean, you know, the blacks. When I first went to look for an apartment, after I settled in New York, I realized there were some areas I would never, ever go into. But when you're young and fearless and you're looking for an apartment and you're looking at prices, you go everywhere. Spanish Harlem, Lower the Bowery. I mean, so, you know, you had the Popola section, you had the Puerto Rican. I mean, all of it was in New York. And I saw a cold water flat. You hear about songs and stories about cold water flats. What was it? Okay, it was a room. Where's the bathroom? In the hallway. Just a toilet. Where do I bathe? You see that table? Open it. There was a tub under the tabletop. And he said, the only thing has only cold water, so that's the cold water flat. But these experiences are very good. It gives you a whole feel and color and stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Kamehameha School. Went to Kamehameha School. And supposedly, I guess, Kamehameha School develops industrious Native Hawaiians. Do you think they did that for you?
Well, Kamehameha, when I went there, is far different from it is what it is today. Kamehameha, when I went there, I didn't know the class because it was it was still school for boys, school for girls. The few girls that I know who are my classmates are only because I worked on the school newspaper with them, and they're still friends of mine. But other than that, And then the boys were you either college prep or you're vocational. So the other half of my senior class, which were vocational guys, I never really knew them too because, you know, you're college prep or that. Yeah, and so it was very, you were sort of split up. Kamehameha back then did not, well, because you started with your parents, didn't want you to speak Hawaiian. Although my dad has always wanted to because he was fluent Hawaiian speaker. But his way of wanting me to learn the language was negative for me. He would type out these like 12 verses from the Bible and he'd give me the paper and he'd say, by this evening, have this memorized. I don't know the verses that I know what I, you know, I mean, I could not comprehend memorizing something that I didn't know what it was all about. I mean, so I really had a rough time with my dad. And as I said, growing up was really tough until I came home. And as he got older, that's when he would say, hey, son, go buy some clothes. Yes, you have a question.
I noticed even at Miramar Art, your neckerchief, what is that inspired by? I always see you with the neckerchief.
Good. That has always been part of my uniform for years.
It's very Paleolo.
Well, yeah. It's, and then, yeah.
But
I have tons of scars, yeah. Yes, that's part of it. So when people sketch me like other, when Miley first opened the store with downtown, what's called Native Books and Beautiful Things on Merchant Street next to Hawaiian Electric. So all those members that started when we got together and they would do sketches, we would do sketches of each other. They always drew me with a scarf. It's Pani Olu.
Well, you refer to it as a scarf or a neckerchief. What do you refer to?
A scarf.
Scarf. Yeah. Well, that's the difference right here.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Pani Olu.
Plus, come to Henry and you get old and you start getting old. Just tired. You know, showbiz, when you're in showbiz, you become aware of things.
So you just one day decided that would be your identity?
Well, no, it's just something I got used to. Something like combing hair, brushing teeth. Finally stopped bottling my hair. The bottling hair started when I was a freshman at Kamehameha because not knowing, if I looked at my dad, I never saw my dad with dark hair. He always had white hair, not knowing it would be something hereditary. So I used to pluck, finally bottled. So from the time I was Kamehameha, I bottled. And then I do fashion shows. That's why these two guests are here from Honoka'a. Because they are part of a halau with Alva Kamalani, who is a kumuhula in the Waimea area, and she belongs to her halau. And I went to do a fundraiser this past year before Mary Monarch for the halau in Honoka'a. Stayed in their home. They were my hosts up in Ahualoa, which is mountain of Honoka'a. Wonderful home up in the Kuahiwi. And the halau is made up of women now, 60, 70, 80 years old. They were, because maybe they come from the country, they were a very endearing, most endearing group that I've worked with. I was so touched, and they made the money so they could go to Huaka'i, to Kauai, that I think I'm going to be invited again this year to come and do another fundraiser for them. Yeah.
Your fashion show was always around the holidays, right? Your fashion show was always around the holiday time, November.
Yeah, that's coming up. I only have on one table 7 tickets left. It's been, and the reason why is I've always had a hard time trying to sell tickets.
Yeah.
Ben Wood, when he wrote that article in the paper, I don't know if you, but he wrote like a, you know, like two, well not, yeah, what, it was a big article. I got phone calls from people that I don't know that buy tickets. So it has been God sent that because it's really struggling trying to, you know, you know, one man operation.
The movie, they're keeping something.
Well, I never thought of Civic Club. Civic Club. I just never. In fact, I used to send them when I had a list of Civic Club officers. I used to send them, but. It's only because this year's my 40th, and it's going to be a hula show, and so I have people like the Kaika Mahine of Pohai Suza, and the Keiki Kani of Joan Lindsay from Pearl Harbor, Pohai Suza from Auntie Mikey, and the men, because I've had men in my fashion show before, and that's where Pomai and I come, because we both studied Uncle Henry Pa when he taught at. And I'm not a hula person, but I learn whatever I know. I'm not a hula person. I've always been a jazz modern dancer. That's how I met him, Uncle Henry Park's class. And because I've used men dancers in my past shows, Robert Casimiro, Ed Collier, the group of men that I enjoyed the most, because they're big burly men, is Snowbird Bento. She's huge. She's huge guys. And to see them on stage, I mean, even my other models, the females, they're whoa! And a lot of the female models are dancers. Auntie Mikey. And my models basically have been with me for a long time. And they're just people that started modeling. And we've all gotten older together, you know. Debbie Nakanelua, Manu Anana from Haleiwa. Manu was the first Wahine that worked with me. These are pictures of shows through the years. She didn't recognize me. Robert and Le Ma'a. And I did shows for Ko'olau Lohoin Civic Club at the Kuilima. This is one of my favorites. She was a singer. This is Reverend Ka'upu's daughter, Suzanne, who died after giving birth to her second child, who was only a few months old, and she had one of these raging cancers. Wonderful performance. Ke'ola Kamahele, who married the Miss Maui, who was a Miss Hawaii, they lived in Utah. Kanoi Miller, Ramsey Tom, and Ke'oni Cook, who was a Miss Hawaii. This, I think, is my sister Mahele Rose, and I think that's Tootsie, I don't know. Punani Medeiros Higgins, Audrey Myers, one of my favorite models, good dancer, good singer, hard worker. Anulu Akau, who is Kuni Poyo's service cousin and Devina Kanigua. I believe that four males are not issues. Anulu Akau, and that two other women, plus my sister sitting and four five. Four males was one of the longest models that I've had. She was a freshman at Punahou when her parents, who were president of the Ko'olau Lohoin Civic Club, gave me a young girl, and she's been one of my models all this year. She got married, she has children, she now is principal at Kamehameha Middle School, and she's brought to the Kapalama campus a new look to the school. It's classrooms without walls. It's just huge, big rooms, and there's several classes. So I know several people have taught, you know, like craft people. Moana Isley, by the way, gave me two of her Ohe Kapala prints. Ohe is bamboo, Hawaiians, and bamboo strip with card, and that's how they print it on top of. So this one I call Vana. The Japanese people are really cute. They go, ooh, uni.
Yeah.
And that's Hawaiian for Vana. So Moana Isley taught, gave a class on tapa making up at Kamehameha School. I said, how was school? You know, the class zeroed in on what I was doing, and we weren't bothered by all the other classes that were in.
Nakeo, when I first went to your show, was at Dole Canary. You're going back to Dole Canary this year.
Oh, yeah. It's just that, you know, Pee Wee, who works here.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that always, the core that helped me every year. And I said, come on, let's move back in town. So they were the ones that went to check out. I mean, when I discovered Ko'olau, I just love Ko'olau because I go, hey guys, every year the same people come and the local people. And they go, wow. You know, to see the mountain right outside going up to the Pali, I mean.
But what's interesting for me is
And maybe just as well, because with all these storms that we're having, that this year I'm in town.
My husband was Okinawan, and I was surprised when I went to that first show.
Out there?
Out at Dole. Long time ago.
Oh.
We were there before. And he knew everybody. And the teachers. You had such a following from the DOE teachers. My husband was a teacher, but he was with the HSTA. And I thought, I should know these Hawaiian people, but my husband knew everybody over there. How did you get the teachers to follow you? They did the bake sale before Hawaii City Club of Honolulu did the bake sale.
Yeah.
Well,
my sisters, Mahela was at Kamehameha private school, then the other one was public school.
Oh. And then you said you and I thought I heard Alan Aquino, when you came home, you opened a.
We opened an office together. Yeah.
Then Alan.
He went all over.
Yeah,
but
he went downtown.
He went all over. He was even in Raw Hawaiian Arcade. You know, the Raw Hawaiian goes downstairs and all those shops. And he was all over. He was on Atkinson. On Atkinson, up from the Central YMCA over there.
But then you moved down to Hawaii from.
Yeah. No. Home. It's just that I didn't want to be as venturesome as he. I mean, because it's a lot of bucks being adventuresome. And,
Did UFOs confer about the drawing? You know, that pattern reminds me a little of Alan.
Well, Hikohanapi did a number of my prints. If you know my male hula dancer, the Kahiko dancer, and I also have a female Kahiko dancer. And then he gave me the whole pod, the chanters. But I'm very critical on how art is done. I thought they looked like the women in, you know, the young artist Enos?
Yes.
You know the book that he did on Hiaka and Pele?
Yes.
I mean, you look at the. They look
it's
very
so
Fijian or something. They don't look Hawaiian. They don't look. What lovely book that I've always admired, and I guess the artist was Howley, is the one on Kamehameha.
Which one?
There's a Kamehameha book, and when Kuipo goes by, I'll ask her if she can find it. There's a book on the life of Kamehameha, beautifully illustrated, to see Keku Haupio, who was his strong teacher when he went, you know, and the whole journey and stuff. And Kuipo was fortunate to visit all the places that Kamehameha traveled as a baby with Fred Cotrola. If you ever get Fred Cotrola, he does a wonderful tour of that whole area because he's from that area.
Yeah.
And why the name of the town was that, because it was maybe when the baby stopped and they gave him milk, so they called it leche. I knew the Spanish for milk is leche. So that became the name of the town, you know. Or, yeah. So she had a very inspiring visit with me. Question?
How's your sister Gladys?
I'm sorry?
How's your sister Gladys?
Who?
Gladys.
Gladys. Your sister Gladys?
What was
sister?
She and I have broken up a long time ago. I didn't realize that.
So anyways, I have a question.
Yes.
Have you been to the Mamo Arts that they do up at Hawaii Theater in the past 5 years?
I did it the first time.
You did?
I did it when she first started, which was at the old, what is that place called? Yeah. Where the old Army Navy Y used to be, downtown on Hotel Street. What is that?
The
Central YMCA. Yeah. Now it's called something where they have an art.
Yes.
Okay. When Vicky first did, I just thought I wasn't. I really felt from the very beginning I wasn't part of Putty Foundation because I'm sort of a square fashion designer. Compared to the younger generation where they
Look at the Mamos, look at Vita Pilagos, look at Simply Sisters, which Mr. Singh.
Yeah.
Did you see the trend and all
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I just felt, okay, so the last one, so I did for it down there. Then I stopped, then I did one for the Hawaii Theater. And if I didn't have the dressing room that I shared with Robert Casimiro's Halal, which is right off the stage, I saw spiked heels running up the two floors, running down the two floors. I mean, this is madness.
It is.
And thank goodness I was in the dressing room right off the stage. It's crazy. The back of the Hawaii Theater is crazy.
Yeah, I was model for Ita Pilago twice and then one time earlier for Pa'u. So I know the madness that it goes back there, but my question was the trend and all the different. You see how yours is inspired a certain way. All these young girls, I feel they're starting to plagiarize, and some of them don't even know the work that they're producing. You know, have you gone to this last Hawaii festival, Made in Hawaii? Oh, it was kind of interesting to see how they plagiarize what other people have done well, and then they put their own little tag on it, whatever.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
Multiple.
Yeah.
Multiple.
Yeah.
So and artists just that put just twist a little different, and yet it's the same.
Yeah.
You get involved, and then you go, you know, I was
well. Thank goodness that I have survived, and thank goodness that. Thank goodness for the Japanese. I give the Japanese credit because I'm in several Japanese magazines. And in fact, somebody just interviewed me for another Japanese magazine. The Japanese will find you and come way up to Kaaba Lama by bus or by taxi because you are in their Japanese magazines. And so thank goodness for the little sales that I get from the Japanese that stop in. Thank goodness that 30 years ago, I did uniforms for a young band teacher at Kwananakoa Middle School. That's 6th, 7th, 8th graders. And it's the Kahili print that I did, yellow and red, because that's their school colors. That 30 years later, he needs more band shirts and so. And they paid, I needed a down so that, because there's lots of fabric. I'm making 214 shirts for it. And the sizes go from boys 12, 14, 16, men's extra small, small, medium, large, extra large.
Lakeu, the first fashion show I went to when you were in was with Kaulana. My daughter was dancing with Kaulana, and we was at the Sheraton, and Namba was on, you were on, the dancers that came singing, like, came back from New York, came home.
Which one?
What's his name?
Designer?
No.
Dancer?
Dance studio. They have a dance studio.
Oh, next. Simeon Den.
Yes, Simeon.
I went to see him at the Art Academy.
He's there. But because that fashion show, to me, was an eye-opener. I mean, Kaulana, and he organized all of you, and you, and it was so wonderful, the mixture of and of the statues.
Yes, yes,
and
the variety.
It was wonderful. And then Kaulana did the dances around there and told the stories of Pele and they wore it. It was wonderful.
Yeah. No, I mean.
It was really nice.
Yes.
I have another question.
Please.
I'm just kind of curious. You know what I love about this shop is it's down home, meaning it's not like walking into a department store. So when you walk into your shop, as you know, and I go, I look through. But in the meantime, while I'm looking through, we're talking story. And it seems like you talk story to a lot of people in
well,
the shop.
Well, I think it's interesting to... so what happened was, Hiko's Chanters was, you know, artwork was, so I just left it alone for a long time. And then, you know, I meet Doug Tolentino, who's a good artist, and Doug, could you, so I gave him the old drawings that I got from Hiko Hanabi, and this is what Doug did. I'm really impressed with that, yeah.
So when people come into your shop, I was just kind of curious, what do they talk about? What's the topic that most people talk about?
No, it's what their first question is, and that leads to wherever it goes, wherever it goes.
Speaking of your shop, is that place next to it that still sells Kukui? Yeah, I gotta make my horse late for the parade this Saturday. So I remember they had Kukui nuts and stuff in there.
Oh yeah, that I remind people. I go, remember now, a Filipino lady work all day long.
Yeah. And think it's $5.
When I first started, there were a lot of young Hawaiian guys that were going into local crafts. And as soon as the Filipino shops started opening, they're not around anymore. I remember a lot of young men that started Kukui Nut Lays in the early years.
I think because you can buy the whole guy for $18.
Yeah, no, yes. Yeah. And I'm buying stuff from them too because my
and a lot of it is plastic.
Eh?
Yeah, or you can get the other ones.
They're very in demand. They're constantly shipping things in by the boxes.
What
materials,
other than design, do you have any other passion?
Anything else
that really interests you that
you love?
Do you sing?
Well, I'm enjoying these tea and talk stories on Sunday because most of the time it's just the guest and myself. But we go into a whole realm of not realizing that this guest has these connections that connect with me. And I tell you, the island is getting smaller and smaller and smaller because of all these connections.
Nakeo, regarding your fashions, that one is full, this one is full. I don't see much for the spinet. What is that? I'm just curious.
Very simple, semi-fitted things. I don't... As we get older, we get more sedentary. Yeah.
You're right. It is very.
I mean, I like what I do.
Well, and this is Betty. And,
that's Betty.
And yes, and I've dealt with Betty before the Nahula girls took over, when she the Haole Wahine Betty Manchester, and because there was when I first came home, I did a fashion show, and saw all the different local designers because it was a fashion show for the Chinese Diocese. So they said, we want you to use all the fashion guild of Hawaii. So I went all over. And the two designers that I was impressed with, Betty, because through the years, her styles have not changed. You know, everybody gets frustrated and they go in, out, open, big, full, narrow. They have maintained the same line of fashion, they just changed the fabric. So I admired Betty, and then I admired this guy, Dave Rockland.
Rockland?
From Surfline. You know Surfline?
Yeah.
All
yeah.
the jammy pants.
Yeah.
Okay. Kuibo, yes. If you can you find, you know that Kamehameha book, the children's book? The one that I like, my favorite book on Kamehameha. If you can find one and bring it. David Rockland, Jams, he was one that did Jam.
Yeah.
He married a Hawaiian wahine, Keo Nui Nui. She was part of the civic club. Because I remember one of the conventions on Kauai, because I guess she knew my sister Mahela when they both were at UH. She goes, babe, let's go upstairs and have some toots on the way. And she's sort of a mannish Hawaiian wahine, so I was a little concerned about my sister. Well, I walked the elevator open all day and finally was relieved when sister came back to join me. Not that, it's just that, her name was Keanui Nui, yeah. And they were sports people, both she and Rockland. Rockland would give his jams, remember jam, to surfers, and that's how it became real popular. Now his son, so I admired his factory in the early years, which was on Kona Street, right below the shopping center.
Yeah.
Because when I went to visit his factory, he had Japanese workers sewing quietly. He blared classical music over the loudspeakers. I went, trippy guy, I like this. Yeah, so those are the two people that I've always admired. The other, yeah, so Betty is, I found out that they do, have been, before me, they used to do Christmas time. They don't do anymore, but they used to do mu'us for wrens.
Yeah.
In the early years at Wren's at Alamoana Shopping.
Like the Christmas.
I think it's the pleated one, the one with the men's shirt studs, yeah? Because that one with the studs, it's based after a men's nightgown. You know, men's nightgowns had the little collar and the studs that went down. You have to go, yeah?
Well, I thought I'd give it an hour and I have another appointment, but I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah, it's anytime you have to leave, just, yeah. So I enjoy just, every Sunday I look forward to what the guest and I may have to share with each other.
Okay, but wait, not yet. I have two more questions to ask you. One is, Nakeo is a member of the Hawaiian Civic Club of Honolulu. Some of us had dual membership. I'm still a member. Beatrice is still a member. What caused you to join the Hawaiian Civic Club of Honolulu?
Guard Kiloha.
Right.
Oh, not this one, Evo. None of these.
That's all, I know which one, but that's all we have.
Oh,
it's the other one, the yellow one.
Yeah, the artist one.
No more. Sorry.
And then the last thing is some of the women.
God, your Lord. In fact, when I joined, I went to the club of Honolulu. They're all old people. And you brought a whole bunch of, like, Hanani Apoliona.
Yeah.
I mean, that's way before you. And I sat next to you, she goes.
You're my cousin. Come sit next to me.
Sis Wiedemann, do you remember her?
Yeah.
Or Wavy? I mean, she was a rough, big Hawaiian woman. So that's why I joined, because God said, we need new blood. And that's what I did when I worked with Ko'olau Hawaiian Civic Club, because they were all older people. And I said, hey, you guys, you got to get younger people in, because if you want this to continue, you have to bring young blood in.
And the last question was, some of the women here are interested in any tips you can give us to make us look more beautiful.
Besides losing weight?
No, I mean...
like, you know, when you get older, you have all of this over here, right? So what can we do to...
Wear a scarf.
Scarf?
What else, though? I mean, you know... Or do you put more hair stuff so that...
No, I
mean, right, yeah.
I think you will discover on your own what you need to do. I think that's the best way. Instead of me directing what you should do, you'll discover what you want to do.
I mean, but it's like, you know, when I go to all your fashion shows, everybody else looks so beautiful.
Well, I mean, I always make sure I have some heavy people in my group, and heavy and older people, the couple are Terry Ayo, who comes from Auntie Mikey Long Ago. She was a buddy with Miss Colleen and her husband, Mel Ayo. He has white hair, retired. He was with Aloha for years. And then when it closed, and he got a job with HMSA, and then he retired. And a lot of retired people are doing kupuna work, yeah, in the schools. And that's good. It keeps them busy and occupied. Question. So I stay with these people because his wife is part of Elva Kamalani's Halau in Honoka'a. And it was very interesting working with them, because I selected from their repertoire two numbers that they would do in the show. And one was Kahiko Hanale,
uta, da, da, uta, uta,
on a pahu drum. And the other one was Hi'ilawe. And an interesting thing happened, because she'll remember. I said, the ladies were, because I just had the day before for fitting and staging, the next day we do the show. So I said, any of you ladies grew up in Waipio? Because the other number of you was Hi'ilawe. This old Japanese lady said, come. You're going to come out for it and go center. So look at the front door. That's center. You're going to stand. Then everybody will surround you. And that's what they, and that's the formation they use for Hi'ilawe. I found out later, she's the one in class that is the crayfish. She's always dancing to get to the back row. But here I had her, brought her out, she was dead center, and everybody thrown at her.
Also, she is the oldest member of our halal.
She's the oldest.
She just made 88 this year.
Charming, charming people. Japanese, Chinese, there were, you had somebody from Thailand, I think.
Thailand.
She had an unusual name, so I figured she was Thai. Yeah, and so it's really neat when you work with a group of older women, because, and they worked hard. They were sewing, this is the day before the event, they're sewing tablecloths so people can eat at the table or the tablecloth. They were bringing all their rice cookers, cooking rice. They all decided one menu. They all cooked chili, so they're bringing their pots of chili. And we did a performance. And people that came enjoyed themselves. They laughed because we did funny things like, okay, it opened with, they sang Song of Old Hawaii. And as they sang, two of the women came up and sprinkled the whole little stage and the Japanese Hongwanji, that's where we did the show, the Japanese Hongwanji Parish Hall. They sprinkled the stage with petals. Perfume of a million flowers, ooh, bringing me a song of old Hawaii. First number. Second number was Makalapua.
And you picked just the right person to sprinkle flowers, Susie.
Oh. So second number was Makalapua, and one of their women danced. And she came out and said, grab the petals, and put it into your hula. So, oh, Makalapua, Makalapua, yeah. And it was beautiful. Okay, that's the second number. Third number was going on a canoe ride, and they did the Nina Machado number. So I said, okay, we need riders in the canoe. So the models came out, they brought two chairs, and they sat down with canoe. We need an ocean. Can we have an ocean? So the women, the halal women, came up and they surrounded and sat down on the floor. And I could teach them real quick, yeah? Push your vayu out. Shove it in. Push it out. Shove it in. Well, leading up to, they all came up, sat on the floor. They looked like a current in the ocean. Okay, pick the petals and toss it in the wind. So the canoe riders and the ocean, and they're using the same pedal. And they picked up very fast, and and then we did funny number, we did a thing on Kamapua, and as he said, because he was in the audience, he said, more perfect guy, because one of the models that I had is this big, hairy-chested, burly guy with this huge opu, gray, grizzly-looking. So we put him in pan, and I had a kihei, and I do a kamapua pillow, but that big. It's a hug me pillow. And so we shoved it in his kihei, and he's kamapua. And one of the lady models was Pele, and red blouse, red pants, dark glasses, school teacher. You gotta be Pele, you gotta be strong. Lift, lift, lift. Dominate. She dominated. So Kamapua fell in love with Pele, and that has always been going on, Kamapua and Pele, Kamapua and Pele. But Pele would never lay with a swine. She would never lay with a swine. So Kamapua would try, because he wanted to do, he liked her so much, so this guy is standing there and goes, you gotta give her the gas, give her the gas, give her the gas. This guy with his Kamapua pillow giving her the gas, and the audience is just screaming, they're rolling over, because burly guy, Kamapua, he's hot for Pele, but she's looking at him, oh my God, you're a swine. So he goes, well, Kamapua thought he'd try another way of luring her. So he thought he'd be poetic. So out comes this nose poop. And she goes, oh, okay. She comes closer, she comes closer. She had a blouse, so she goes, she gives him a little shoulder. And all of a sudden, Kamapua gets so enamored. He, this burly guy, just falls on the floor, legs kicking. Oy, 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 oy. My God, this is all pantomime. You are just a swine. all during the musician sang Kau Hale O Kamapua da da di the Kamapua song. And people just it was charming, it worked out well. Everybody did one rehearsal, they did the show the next day.
Wow. So if you come to the Mary Monarch, come early and come to the show next year.
Honoka'a. It's
Wait, it would be on Wednesdays, Tuesdays
no.
of the week?
No. Mary Monarch always starts Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
So I fly up on Good Friday, get the car, go to cargo, pick up my stuff, drive up to Honoka'a, open up the boxes, the models come down, we have the one rehearsal with Halau and models, and the next day we do the show.
So that's when the week Sunday?
The Saturday before Easter Sunday.
Saturday.
It's on the Saturday before Easter. Because Mary Monarch thought Easter Sunday. And then we pack up Ku'ipunai and then we drive down to Hilo and we start prepping for the whole week. But then we're selling at a Fook Chin Center Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. From my hours go from 5 until midnight every day.
How come you haven't moved to Waimea? You've been going there.
Huh?
You've been going to Waimea.
It started with Patty Cook.
I'm going to tell you. I used to go every year with my mother and my granny.
Yeah, and that's how it started because Patty Cook sold my things. And she said, would you come up and do a show? And I go, well, Patty, if you do it before Mary Monarch, because I have to come up, you don't have to fly me up. I'll just come up earlier. So then she closed the shop, and so I got a core of models. Alva was part of them. So they're all a group of people that Uniki from Pili Pang.
Oh.
He had a halau in Waimea, Pili Pang. Yeah. And he comes from Auntie Mikey.
Yeah.
He Uniki from May Klein. He started with, he danced with him, And so that's my connection with
Waimea. That's true, all the way from home. Right?
Yeah, so I always say that Kumwala Aaron is what I like. And anyway, what time is it?
Yeah, I think it's time.
You have a watch?
It is 11:54.
Almost
11:54.
Oh, it's still early.
Almost
okay,
12.
Cool. Yeah. No, because I'm always afraid my brother comes at a certain time. If I don't, not in the garage, he comes in. Yeah. So
if I can make a request, I would love to take a picture with Nakiru and the guests.
Is that
Do you mind gathering around?
Okay.
And then will people don't mind sitting down again?
Yeah, just come step forward a little bit and let everybody gather around.
Okay. Stand behind that
box. You know who's going to be gathering in my picture show? Mel. Nina Horn special on TV. And we did the macrame cowhide belt. And then macrame, you know that popular knot. This is a very conservative belt. And this judge occurs in West Side Story. And this is a macrame cincha belt. which I sold. This is in front of Furman Press Shop in Beverly Hills. And the sales girl was wearing a belt. And they would buy these belts and give. When people buy a fur coat, they have a whole selection of belts and they can choose them.
This is so period.
Well, you know, when we do TV, I mean, these are wonderful sets. With that painting going that way, it just draws. And Lena Horne was the wonderful person. So I just brought all of them. Yes, you should go.
Yes, we have so much we want to say in the next week, but you know what? This was one of the highlights of the trip to see you. Thank you so much.
Nice to see both of you too. Her father was there too
before he died. David.
She went to take care. She was living there. That's right, because they moved up there first. But she was living in Naples for a while.
Look at that. The macrame, that was so popular.
Aloha, Mr. Hawaii.
Aloha.